Welcome to Sticky Pickles! Ever found yourself stuck in a pickle, knee-deep in a dilemma? Question is, what do you do now? I'm Maria.
I'm Carol, and this is Season 2, Episode 20 of Sticky Pickles, Floor Friend and Long Work Hours.
Okay, so before we dive in.
Yes.
We have...
a surprise guest. You didn't know.
And the snort may have given it... Oh, now the laugh has definitely given it away.
Hello, it's me, Graham. Hi.
Graham just did his own intro. We have Graham Cluley with us, everybody.
He couldn't wait. He thought we wouldn't be able to do it. We wouldn't manage it. We wouldn't get to his name. We would forget.
The one and only Graham. We have him with us.
Yeah, thank God we have a man here to help us.
Thank goodness.
Graham, thanks for joining us.
I'm glad we roped you into
this. Oh, it's a pleasure. This is lovely. I like what you've done with the place.
Yeah, do you like it?
Yeah.
So, Graham, you're here to be in the peanut gallery to Marie and my story. Is that correct?
Peanut gallery.
Well, I view myself as something like an adjudicator. I view myself as being sort of in the jury. So maybe I can heckle, maybe I can ask some probing questions to get to the bottom, the reality of what's really going on in your...
Is this like euphemism central?
Oh,
are you really
yeah.
excited because this is a bit dirty, this show, comparatively? You just said bottom. And
probing.
Oh my goodness.
Probing.
Sorry. I should have said ass. I'm sorry.
Is this actually dirtier than Smashing Security? I'm not sure about that.
Oh, I heard last week.
Maria hasn't heard last week's episode yet.
I haven't yet, no.
You've descended to whole new depths compared to Smashing Security.
Oh, we did.
Excellent. Can we climb out of those depths this week? Or are we just going to go deeper? Let's go deeper.
I got my shovel.
Well,
all right. Maria, are you ready for Floor Friend? Tell us your sticky pickle. Graham, get the popcorn.
Okay, I'm talking about Floor Friend. Have you ever lived in an apartment building where there are people above you, below you, to the sides? You're like packing like sardines?
Yes.
All right. Have you ever lived in one that was like terrible condition, basically like falling?
Yes. I lived in a 18-story building. I lived on the 16th floor, and regularly the elevator would fuck up so that it would open between floors. So literally you could either jump down to the floor below, right, shimmying, or you'd have to get heaved up and then yank the next person up to the floor that you wanted
to
be on. I'm not even kidding. And now I wouldn't do it because I'd be worried about the elevator actually falling and this being a really bad sign. But at the time, because I was young, I was like, hey, big deal. But yeah, no, I've lived in apartment buildings.
That sounds horrendous. Where was this?
In Toronto.
Ah. Well, given the housing crisis in Toronto, I bet that still costs an arm and a leg.
Right?
Yeah. So, Graham, you haven't said anything. Have you lived in squalor?
My apartment was pretty disgusting. I think everyone else's apartment, they never let me into other apartments. I expect theirs were quite nice.
Like Linus? They just wouldn't let you in?
There's a little cloud of dust.
The main thing I remember from living in that sort of situation was the passive-aggressive notes which were posted up on the notice board directed at me. I had things like a washing machine or tumble dryer or something like that, which sometimes wouldn't turn itself off. And so I'd start it up. I would go to work and it would just keep on going, I think, for about 14 hours. And people didn't like that, apparently.
I'm wondering if this sticky pickle I have is about you, then. That's really interesting. Interesting that you say that. So I'm very interested to hear your perspective on this.
Okay.
All right, because I also had lived in a building like this. We were packed in like sardines. It was actually supposed to be a nicer, higher-end condo unit, but everything was rented out to college students, so the smells and the sounds were rather constant, and the walls were paper thin. So it got unpleasant. We have the hero of our story is Natalia.
She's Natalia.
She is starting off in her career, like a year or two out of her university days. This is all she can afford is basically a flop house apartment in a building that's who knows how tall, like 50 floors. Let's just say it's a super tall apartment building. Yeah, it's in the city, and this is the best that she can afford. This is the best that most people can afford, and because it's maybe a lower income apartment building, the rules are quite strict. Basically, three strikes and you're out. And that's if you complain to management. If someone complains to management about you, they go well beyond the passive aggressive notes. They just go straight to speaking to the manager, right? And they so you have to be pretty careful about what you're up to. Although most people are kind of chill. So Natalia works in the day as an assistant with a special needs for kids school. Special needs kids school?
Yeah.
A school for kids with special needs. I don't know why.
She sounds lovely already. I want her to be happy. Why is she living in squalor?
Well, it's the best she can afford. They don't pay people like this super well.
Yeah, they don't pay good people a lot of money, Graham,
to do the really, really hard work.
If only she'd known me, I'd have rescued her. I'd have taken her down to the 22nd floor. Oh. I've had less far to go.
That actually might solve her problem, come to think of it. So she's exhausted, as you might imagine, at the end of her days working with young kids who, you know, have specific challenges. And she's also battling depression, something pretty fierce.
This is like a double whammy shit.
So yeah. I don't know if you've known anyone with depression, but sleep is not your friend when you're going through that. Like, it comes and goes whenever it feels like it. And you grab those 40 winks when you can. So she's having a hard time sleeping. She's exhausted from a really intense job. And it ends up that her upstairs neighbor apparently is auditioning for Stomp the Musical.
So there's dustbins, there's clacking.
Chicka chicka ting ting ting.
I've seen Stomp. There's a lot of noise, isn't there? There's a lot of clanking around.
It's really Noise the Musical.
I was gonna say, like, it's like the days when we used to sing Total Eclipse of the Heart, and we'd get the pan lids out to do the bashing.
Oh yeah, get saucepans.
I'm sure the neighbors loved that.
Turn around, bright eyes, boosh.
Well, were you doing that at 3 a.m?
Yes, of course, during parties. We'd only do it when we were absolutely arseholed.
Of course.
Graham doesn't drink, though, so I don't know what his excuse was. But
just
anyway.
Caught up in the enthusiasm and joy of the moment, right? Joie de vivre. Natalia is very cognizant of the fact that you don't want to complain too much about a neighbor to management, because people can get kicked out, right? And presumably it's going to be hard to find
a dick move unless someone's an asshole, really.
Right.
So
she's trying to figure out ways, short of confronting this person in person, to resolve this issue. So there's the old classic broom handle on the ceiling, knocking on the door, but no answer. She has tried blasting Rammstein up into the ceiling. She's taking her speakers, just to be clear, taking her speakers,
right,
smishing them up to the ceiling and playing very loud, angry German music.
Okay, no offense. It's a little passive aggressive.
Is it, though?
No, it's not passive aggressive. It's bloody aggressive. You don't do that.
But she knocked on the door and nobody answered.
Well, did she put a little note under the door?
Okay. Can we just, as we say in Quebec, rebobine la cassette, rewind the tape.
Hello.
Okay?
Yeah, I like
rewind
it.
The tape. How long is he practicing his stomp, stompy, stomp, stomp?
Oh, this has been going on for weeks.
How long at each session? Sorry. Like, is he doing it 24/7?
No, but he's doing it for at least a half an hour every night, usually around like 3 a.m. And then he starts like moving furniture around and... It's not like a shoe drops and that's it and you're startled and you go back to sleep. This is a good half hour at least of just ungodly noise.
Can I put the tables back on you both?
Yes.
If this was a neighbor that enjoyed rather loud sexual...
oh my goodness.
You know? No, but say the neighbor...
Who's having sex?
If the neighbor was having a loud time every night at 3 a.m. for half an hour... Would you dare, and it woke you up each time
been
and
there.
Screwed up, you know?
Yep. Been there.
Would you go upstairs and complain?
Half an hour?
Yeah, that's sort of my brain stuck on that too. Half an hour? Really?
Oh my God, guys.
Seriously?
Yeah.
No, but what do you do? Do you go upstairs or do you kind of just, is that
God, you don't
life?
Go upstairs. You might, if they're going on for half an hour, they might drag you in there.
you knock on the door and you say, good for you. And then he's
right.
Away.
Jolly well done.
So can you not, take
fun.
That mentality with the stomp thing? Just assume it's him having something shenanigans and assume it's going to be half an hour.
But like every night at 3 a.m.? Really?
would you go up there and negotiate? That's what I would do. I'd be like, look, dude,
Natalia
this sucks
has tried, but nobody's answering the door.
Now, I remember once being in a hotel room with Carole and a group of people. We were having a little party in the hotel, which got a little bit rowdy. And what this particular hotel did, it was a hotel in Canada, of course, was that they sent up like this butler, this sort of maitre d', goes, hello, hello. And he had a tray full of champagne glasses. So he knocked on the door and we looked through the little keyhole and we saw that there's someone there with these champagne glasses. And we're like, oh, come in, come in. This looks marvellous. And it was all a trick to get security into the room.
Oh!
So if Natalia was to dress up, I don't know, she sounds kind of Russian.
Like the super.
Or a hooker, maybe.
Well, I'm thinking more like a KGB spy. You know Barbara Bach in The Spy Who Loved Me in like a big long mink coat and a furry hat? That's what I would like. Just knocking on my door at 3 a.m. And then I would open that door.
You would open a door to somebody dressed like that for real at any hour of the day. Really?
I probably would.
You have to remember, you're going to be opening the door with trash cans tied to your feet.
All right. So anyone trying to socially engineer Graham? Okay, got it.
Don't kink shame, Carole. Don't kink shame.
All right. So we've basically concluded that Natalia needs to up the ante, right? Mm-hmm. That she's being too passive. Even blasting loud music at her neighbor, knocking on the door has not been enough. She needs to do more. Okay.
She could make a hole in her ceiling and sort of push a periscope through. Something like that, just to spy on what's going on.
Put it out the window from her room and then just go up. Because, you know, if he's directly above, right?
Yes, like Spider-Man. Yeah. What floor did you say she was on?
She's like on the 20th floor of a really tall
apartment
building.
Oh, don't do that. I don't know.
It ends up Natalia does slip a note under the door saying, you know, I'd really like to speak to you. I live below you. Is there a time that we can talk?
Smart. Like it.
She gets a response in her mailbox, not under her door, but in her mailbox. And she goes, okay. So they arrange a time to talk. So she knocks on the door and a young man around her age opens the door and she starts, you know, she's nervous as hell because this is not going to be a fun conversation. But she's also really sick of the fucking noise that she's living with. And she starts saying like, hey, I'm Natalia. So I'm the person who lives below you and in the unit below you. And I'm really glad you're happy to talk to me about this. And she just sees the guy like nodding his head at her, like shaking his head at her and squinting. And he's going, I'm sorry, you need to speak up. I'm really hard of hearing.
Oh.
I see.
Right. And Natalia has the same reaction. And she goes, you know, she speaks up as best she can and she explains the situation and the situation sort of resolves for a day or two, but then it resumes again.
Did she not mouth, you're a fucking asshole, just to see if he... Yeah.
Here's the thing. Do you remember where she works for a living?
Yes, special needs.
With disabled... Yeah, she's sitting there in her unit stewing about this whole problem, going, you know what? I work with kids like this for a living. I know they know that behavior is not cool. So why is it this guy doesn't?
Yeah.
So she goes back to him a few days
later. He's full of shit, isn't he? He's full of shit. I'm betting it. Okay, keep going. Keep going, Maria.
She goes up there and she knocks on the door at the same arranged time that he said he'd be home, that dated last time she talks to him. And she starts signing to him. In American Sign Language, which is in the U.S., he has no clue what she's saying. Now, it's not everyone's going to know how to sign, but he sort of was indicating that he would know, and ends up she totally called his bluff. The dude was just fucking lying.
I've seen Americans doing sign language. It mostly involves the middle finger, doesn't it? So we tend to use two over here in England.
Oh, yes. Yes. So her conclusion is that he has been absolutely lying to her. So she... It makes it pretty clear that she's about to go nuclear on this guy. He's about one complaint away. And she finds out that the reason he's been making so much noise is he's doing a video game exercising at 3 a.m. because it's the only time he can squeeze it in. So.
Sorry. Video game exercising. What do you mean?
Like jumping
like
on a
DDR
Wii board.
Kind of thing. Yeah, yeah. Basically like Dance Revolution type stuff. He's doing it like three.
I thought you meant like exercising his thumbs, you know, for his joystick. That wouldn't make that much noise.
No, he is legitimately auditioning for Stomp the Musical up there. He is you know, jumping up and down.
It is hard. Like, I live in a house that is like, I guess what you call in the States, a condo or a semi in the UK, right? Like, we're attached on one side with a neighbor. And I would love...
I've got a semi right now, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Please, please cut that. Please.
Sorry?
Please, please. Just...
Cut it off?
Just, no, no.
You want me to cut it off?
Don't bobbit it. No.
You want me to, Lorena, bobbit
it? I'm never coming here ever again. I hope this is my last time.
There was a line that you crossed, but it's very funny that you did.
I didn't know there was a line to cross on Sticky Pickles, but it appears.
There is no line. What makes you think there's a line? I think this is great radio. I'm happy.
I know. I feel like I just know too much now.
I don't
but
even
okay.
remember what I was going to fucking say now, so who cares?
That you had a semi. I mean, you
oh, yes,
in
I live
semi.
In a semi. And, no. Okay, yeah, I live in a semi, and I don't sleep great, you know, and sometimes at 3 a.m, I would love to get on an exercise machine to work off some energy so I can go back to sleep and kind of exhaust myself. But I really worry that it will make noise next door, so I don't do it.
Put a yoga mat down to absorb the sound, for fuck's sake. I mean, that's an easy one.
Yes. Yeah, Natalia, tell him that.
I'm just the gall of the guy to pretend to be hard of hearing and then called out on that bluff. Thank God. But seriously.
Yeah, there's not much she can do about it, though.
No, aside from basically take the nuclear option. But she tried. She tried to not get a dude evicted. But if someone's going to be that much of a dick, I don't know. It's time for that guy to go.
Could she not blow with some sort of device, maybe like a vacuum cleaner in reverse, some extra tacky glue under his door, across his floor while he's out, and then next time he tries to stomp, he just sort of gets stuck in it?
Like a... fly trap sort of thing.
Yes, excellent. Yes, you're on the right line. I think that would be a method to take.
You're a natural at this game.
That is super passive aggressive and kind of cartoony. Could she paint a tunnel on his wall and have him run real fast at it?
But Roadrunner.
Oh, beautiful, Maria.
Curl, tell us about your sticky pickle.
Okay, so we have Tanya and Ted.
Ooh. Okay, Tanya and Ted, got it.
Been together for a while. Things are great. Been talking weddings, kids, house in the burbs, you know.
Oh, goodness.
But Ted is holding back on taking the next step, partly because Tanya works all the time. So she's a dentist at the local surgery, but she always is on emergency calls, it seems.
Dental emergencies.
Yeah, yeah. Like, oh, my God, you know.
I broke a tooth.
I swallowed my tooth. Yeah, something.
Swallowed my tooth. Yeah, I got to wait a day for that one. Anyway.
Now, Ted totally trusts Tanya, but, you know, Tanya's quite hot.
Uh-huh.
And... often people approach her interested in getting to know her. And one of Ted's, shall we call it, dental peeves is that she works with that dental hygienist fucktard Ted. Yes, the same name. Okay.
Okay. I was like, did I miss something? Okay.
Okay. Oh. That's a double fucking whammy for Ted boyfriend that dental Ted has the same frickin' name as he does.
So we have mental Ted and dental Ted. Got it. Okay.
There's a lot of T's going around here.
I agree. TTT. Yeah, I know.
Ted totally trusts toothy Tanya.
You just came up with that. All right. Very alliterative of you.
Now, dental Ted works with Tanya a lot of the time, right? Like, basically, she's his boss. He's a decade younger than Tanya. He's like 28. And he, according to boyfriend Ted, seems totally smitten with Tanya. Okay? Now, if you ask Tanya, you know, like, hey, dental Ted. Ted, hottie hottie, right? She'd totally go, you're crazy. This kid is on a mission to become a dentist in his own right, wants his own practice. There's no way in hell he'd ever get up to any funny business, screw up his career. There's no chance. Give me a break. Ha, 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 ha.
Funny business can you get up to in a dental surgery anyway?
Have you ever heard of laughing gas? Mm. It's great fun.
Is it?
Let me tell you. Yes.
Okay.
It's not bad. But you couldn't. It takes the edge off.
But you couldn't just like subtly introduce laughing gas into your conversation with the dentist, could you? I mean, you'd have to.
No, if you were a dentist, though, and you're sitting there, you could just take the laughing gas occasionally.
Yes, right? But it feels like quite a jump to take, Carole. You know,
it's just moving it to your face.
Yes, exactly.
Not that far.
It's like there has to be some flirtation before that.
Before they put that big mask on you.
Yeah, and normally they're dealing with a very unattractive situation, which is looking inside someone's gob. And it's vile.
Who's kink shaming now? No, maybe you'd ask them to come back when their teeth weren't bleeding. I don't know.
Oh, God.
I don't know.
Oh.
Okay. Can we get back to my story?
Please,
keep on track with Ted and Tanya and the other Ted.
Okay. Ted and Tanya.
Totally.
Ted squared Tanya. Yeah. Totally.
Totally not confused. Okay. Gotcha.
Okay. Now, the thing is Tanya, okay, who sees him as a kid and looking after him and whatever, and he's great. She'll say to you, right, I love working with Dental Ted. He's like the dream employee. Shows up on time, does what he says he will, has great camaraderie with the patients.
Has a cute butt. What?
Huh?
No.
Yeah. Oh, hello.
He looks great in those scrubs. Mm.
And one day, she even says to her girlfriends, one day, I wouldn't be surprised if I'm working for him.
Oh, should be working under him.
Oh, maybe that's what she means. Mm. All this to say, Kate, despite boyfriend Ted's cray-cray insecurities, there's no way she's going to get rid of Dental Ted to assuage boyfriend Ted's jealousy.
Of course not.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You got to deal
And she
with
has
it.
No interest in this guy at all. So, it's pickle time.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Boyfriend Ted has just left for his first business trip in ages, right? And he is nervous because he's not gone anywhere in a year. And it's like kind of like a brand new experience. And Tanya is totally aware of this. She even puts a little love note in a suitcase saying, call you at 11.
Aww. Right?
But at 10:30, there's a dental emergency. Mrs. Miller was trying to eat toffee popcorn, as she's wont to do. And she knows that this is something she shouldn't do with her dentures, but they actually cracked in half.
Oh, my goodness. Right.
Even real teeth. Yes.
Worse, she has a wedding to attend the next day where she's the MC. Disaster. Not a problem, Tanya, the emergency dentist says.
Yeah. Is there no one else on staff? I mean,
it's a small town. She's the emergency dentist.
Yeah, she's the top dentist, top tooth lady in the town.
Yeah. Yeah, so she, you know, she gives.
Just going to keep that going with the alliteration. Got it. Okay.
So, you know, she gives old Dental Ted a bell and says, dude, we've got an emergency. And off they go. And so consumed she was with this whole emergency and getting Mrs. Miller back on her feet, she forgets to call. She forgets her phone date with boyfriend Ted.
Okay. I mean, yeah, she's a professional.
Yeah.
And they all high five, head home. And this is when Tanya remembers her love date with boyfriend Ted, sees her phone, mixed texts, right? Which are like, did you just forget our call? Oh my God, you totally did. Like, seriously? Oh, this is too much. I don't know if I can take this. And this is just text after text, like five of them sitting there.
Right.
Wow.
Now, if I got texts like that, I'd be like, how fucking dare you get all in my face when you know I do emergency care?
To me, that seems like a bit of an overreaction in isolation, but it depends on the larger context.
Yeah, but think of poor old Mrs. Trellis, who's broken her tooth on the
Miller.
Toffee. Right? She had the appointment at 2:30.
Oh,
exactly. Yeah.
She has.
You were waiting to bust that one out. Oh my God.
I almost tried to get it in at 2:30. She called.
That's a 2:30.
I think actually I decided it was too lame. So we'll see if it shows up. Well, Tanya is not like me or us, right? She's like, he needs some love. I kind of fucked up because I could have totally texted him and saying, I can't make it.
Yes,
Mrs. Miller.
I would agree with that. Yes, I was thinking that.
Right. So she decides instead of sending, you know, sorry or whatever, she's going to send him a hot selfie of her all dressed up.
Oh, my goodness.
In her Safari Explorer sexy times outfit. Right.
Well, Safari and Internet Explorer.
Does she have a pit helmet
a
on when she does this?
What?
No, I heard Safari Explorer, and I'm thinking pith helmets. No?
Yes. Pith helmets with crotchless cargo pants.
Who? I don't know. Wait, is it? Okay.
Whoa.
Is this a thing?
I have no idea.
Okay. I'm like, if this is a thing and
There's other guest hosts that we could probably ask.
What twisted mind came up with this?
Someone who really likes colonialism. I don't know.
So she's going to send a sexy picture to Ted.
With a pith helmet on? I'm sorry. I just can't get over that.
To her boyfriend to kind of say, look, let's, you know, I fucked up on the times. Let's do it now, right? Let's have a 3 o'clock stomp stomp meeting, Maria.
Stomp stomp.
Stomp stomp.
So she gets all, like her story. Yes.
Okay. Yes. You tied it all in and I totally missed it. Yes. Yes. Brilliant.
She gets all kitted up and all flirty, right? Little lippy, the whole thing. Sets up the selfie stick, makes her her cheeks are on show.
Where is she?
Not those cheeks. Oh, okay.
Sorry. What are you talking about? Wait, is this happening in the dental surgery? Is this hygienic?
No, she's back home at home.
Okay. I thought she was like in the dental chair or something in between appointments doing this, and I'm just very confused.
She has a special closet.
This is where they do the X-rays. They're like, make sure to do the bite wing thing and then sexy picture.
No, she's at home.
Poor Mrs.
Okay,
Trellis.
Okay.
So she sends in the snap with a message. Are you awake, ferocious Lion King? Right?
I'm going to barf. Okay, yeah,
oh,
all
she
right.
couldn't think of anything sexy to say.
It's their thing. She lies back and waits, you know, for the phone to ring. For
some people's things are just wrong. I'm just saying. I'm judging. Yeah, okay.
The circle of life. Are you up for some Hakuna Matata?
It didn't have a T in it. Just
I watched that movie like a week ago, so thanks. That's with my kid. Just to be clear. Oops. Just to be clear.
Carole, can you keep on track, please?
She's waiting, right? She's waiting there, lying in her little outfit, waiting to do a little FaceTiming with her man.
Right.
And all of a sudden the phone rings. She's like, there we go. She picks up the phone. And it says it's from Ted D. Ted Dentist.
Yeah.
She sent the picture to the wrong Ted.
Yeah.
Do you pick up the phone, Sticky Pickle number one?
Well, you said he was pretty hot.
No, he's hot according to boyfriend Ted.
Okay, me in that situation, it would be verbal diarrhea from the moment I picked up the phone. I go, oh my God, Ted, I didn't mean this and that to you. Please delete that. Oh my God, that was so inappropriate. I promise I was right. And then I hang up. Like, he didn't even get a chance to respond. I'm just going to and then hang up.
That is so smart.
Is she recognizable in the photograph? Because she has some sort of fancy dress costume on.
Sorry, that was my mom. Yeah.
Well, he kind of has Tanya in his phone.
Yes, but someone else could have taken the phone. Someone who has a penchant for dressing up as some sort of colonial safari bus.
Okay, so you're in the situation. Okay. Blip, 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 okay. Yep. And the phone, and you pick up the phone. You say what?
So what I would do is I would pick up the phone and I would... I'm Tanya, and I would go, hello, yes, it is I. I have broken into this house, and I was wondering whose phone this was. And so I've said, I'd do the whole character thing, and I would trick him into believing it wasn't Tanya. It was Tanya's cousin, Tichana, who lives in Bavaria.
Tichana from Bavaria, okay.
Or maybe Timbuktu.
Okay.
Okay, but both of you get on the phone and start talking immediately. Which is smart, actually.
Yeah, stonewall. Right? Just don't give him a chance to say anything that could go either way.
Yes, yes.
The thing is, you haven't actually had time to go check for surezies, right?
Well, that takes a second. Oh, but okay, yeah.
Yeah, right. But do you know what I mean? You're kind of lying there waiting for boyfriend.
So you're thinking it could just be a coincidence?
Well, there could be that situation. So she's not 100% sure. Her blood is drained from her face, right?
I bet.
And gone where?
She wants to die.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right.
She is like, oh my God. But she's not 100% sure. This may be him calling, going, Mrs. Miller has called back and there's an emergency. So she picks up the phone and just says yes.
Trying to play it cool. Okay.
Right? Just to see what happens.
Yep.
And she gets this, Tanya, this message you sent me, just whatever. It's wholly inappropriate, unwanted, and disturbing. This is no way to express your feelings to a subordinate colleague in your team. If I don't give in, you are going to fire me. If I do, you own the rest of my career. I'm so furious. I'm in my right mind to speak to HR right now.
Yeah.
Hangs up the phone.
Oh, yep.
Right? So
I'm impressed this little dental surgery has an HR department.
I was thinking that too. Yep, okay.
In this
they
tiny
take
town.
These issues very seriously.
There's obviously been some trouble in
There's
the past.
There's only one attending dental surgeon in the whole area, but they have an HR department. Okay. Do they also have a dedicated IT team? Or is it just Nancy at the front desk is all of these people?
It's Nancy. Of course it's Nancy.
Nancy. Okay.
But you see, if had he left that as a message, a text message, then she could have forwarded that to her boyfriend. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What's just happened? Look what I'm so embarrassed. Of course, he's already suspicious. Right?
Yes.
How do you go and explain that?
Okay, so can I just back up for a second?
Have you been in this situation?
No, I will say this. My husband's name is Eric, and I once worked for a man named Eric, not the same person. Ooh. It got very, the wires can get a little crossed sometimes where, you know, you're used to going like, Eric, sweetheart, whatever. And then I had always stop myself when I was in the middle of talking to my boss sometimes and be like, don't call him sweetheart because he's not your husband. They were nothing alike, but the name sort of runs together. And I'm telling you, both I've had the conversation both with my husband and with my boss that it's really weird to have two people with the same name that you one that you work with closely and one that you're married to.
Yes, like, it happened to me.
Yeah.
But my husband name is and remember that guy named
yeah.
Got a number of sexy time messages
oh,
from me.
No!
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know that, but that's amazing.
I think this would be quite an advantage, though, because if I think you should only ever lust after someone who has the same name as your partner. Because
yes, or give them a pet name going, look, I know your name is Janine, but do you mind if I call you Samantha?
Well, I feel like over lunch or something, you do discuss at some point, like, this is weird for me. I really hope I don't send you something inappropriate one day.
Yeah.
Or like, if you're in the throes of passion with someone and you're worried you're going to say somebody else's name, if it's the same name.
No one will know. Yeah, that's clever.
So there you go. So any advice? Any advice? What should she do? Do you call the husband? Do you call Ted back and hope he answers?
Dental Ted needs to be resolved because that is a serious work issue and he needs to know that that was unintended, but they got to figure that out. Honestly, my real tip is do not give your boyfriend or Dental Ted the same name in your contacts in your phone. Like, put have the contact name be like boyfriend heart emojis. That's what I do. So it's just like very
Ted
obvious
Danson.
Who you're messaging.
my other half is in my phone as Hunkspind. So
I've got a much better idea. I've got a way of actually getting out of this.
Use a burner phone only for work contacts.
No, I think if you find yourself in this particular pickle, what you instantly do is you send that photo to everybody in your contacts. And that way, if your husband finds out you've sent something saucy to Ted the dentist.
Well, I sent it to everyone.
Say, no. Everyone got it.
Put it on your Facebook. Why not? Your high school buddies will go, you look good for your age. Proud of you.
I like the pith helmet.
Now I know your kink. This is great. I know what to get you for Christmas.
That's it for this week's Sticky Pickle. If we made you smile, you know what to do. Subscribe and review.
And you can get in touch with us on social media. We are at Sticky Pickles on Twitter and at Sticky Pickles Pod on Instagram. And please email us your Sticky Pickles at hello@stickypickles.com and anything else you can find on stickypickles.com.
Graham, thank you so much for being in our peanut gallery today.
And telling us about your semi. Yes, it's wonderful.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I look forward to booking myself into therapy.
Now, I look forward to lording the content of this over you for the rest of my life.
Now, Graham, if our listeners enjoyed you being on our show, where should they find you on the interwebs?
You shouldn't. Please don't locate me. Don't find me. My name isn't Graham, actually.
Yeah, just don't even think of him. Don't even conceive of him. It's gone. He's gone.
Listen to Smashing Security. Oh, I did it.
Oh, there you did. Yay!
Bye. See you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Toodaloo.
Inspired by the internet, embellished by us. So podcasts rarely give listeners a glimpse under the hood, so I thought it might be nice to tell you all how we're doing as a show. So, as some of you know, we launched back in October 2020 when the world was looking pretty darn bleak. And like everyone else, I could feel the weight of everything just dragging me down, and I needed something to get me out of my funk. So I approached Anna Brading with the idea, and she jumped on board. Sticky Pickles was born and named. And when we started out on Audio Boom, the platform that hosts Sticky Pickles, we had a few hundred people tune into the show. And if you are one of those trailblazers, thank you from the bottom of my heart. It's no exaggeration to say that we kept going because you kept listening. And you obviously told a friend or two, because these days, each time we put out an episode, more than 1,000 of you wonderful humans from all corners of the world tune into the show. It's amazing. I don't know if you know this, but when you put out a podcast, you don't know squat. We know when there's a download, but we don't know if a listener liked what they heard or if they're looking forward to more shows. We want to know what your favorite story was, what made you laugh or spill your tea, or whether you figured out the twist in the tale before all was revealed. We live for that stuff. In fact, I've decided to start changing up the Sticky Pickles cover art logo every once in a while, sprinkling in your fine words that you leave us in reviews. Go back, actually, and check this week's cover art, for example. You'll see that I changed it up this week with some choice words from some new reviews. But wherever you are right now, whether you're tucked up in bed or driving to work, cooking up a storm, doing your shopping, folding the laundry, feeding the baby, giggling with your lover, walking the dog, or just simply avoiding doing work, thank you for being there, listening, being part of this tiny, tiny community of picklets. Where's Maria when you need her? She would have died laughing at that. Seriously, we love you guys. And word to the wise, keep laughing. It might just keep you sane.